According to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we'd like to invite the children forward for a message. Well, it's true, we talk about returning to God in this season and turning in on how our spirituality and how our focus affects our daily life. And what brought to mind to me this Ash Wednesday is that when my children were very young, and I'm talking when they were babies, we started a nightly ritual of prayer and blessing. So we'd have a prayer and we'd bless their foreheads. And I, of course, wanted to seek out the perfect bedtime prayer, the perfect prayer that they would remember, the prayer that would settle them down for the night and wake them refreshed in the morning. So I think I was really just looking for a magic sleeping potion prayer to get them to stay asleep. And since Jesus had given me these precious children, I just figured he needed to help a mama out, because it was a long time before they stayed in their beds asleep all night. 6 years, Sophia, thank you. So perhaps maybe with a little bit of exhaustion, I turned to finding this prayer. Well, there's a well-known prayer, of course, for children, which actually I had not grown up saying, but I did know of it. And I think you might find it familiar. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Anybody familiar with that one? All right, well, this was horrifying to me when I was holding my 6-pound baby girl, okay, and my son later on. How could I put my babies to sleep with the thought of death? How could I hold them and rock them and tuck them in and even consider that their beautiful lives would someday not be right there, safe in my arms? That defied every bone in my motherly body, and it wasn't something that I really wanted to face at all as a reality, let alone think about it every single night. And so I found a new prayer, a new version of this prayer, and it starts the same. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. But then it changes in the last lines. May angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. That's much nicer, isn't it? Much better. You know, it's better to my mother ears even now today that want to deny the mortality for my children or any of the people that I love and care about. And maybe it's a part of denying that I kind of want to control the world and even try to get my prayers to control God and what God will do for me and keeping loved ones safe. We live in kind of a death-denying culture, one that tells us that 60 is the new 30, which maybe it is, that's fine, but that we can look younger and kind of be shiny new people with some Botox and a tummy tuck or the right hair dye or the right exercise program or the right meditation or mindfulness routine. And our medical sciences have advanced us in wonderful, life-giving and life-enhancing ways. But they also have led us to be, kind of be genuinely shocked when there's a diagnosis of something being terminal or when there's just really nothing left that can be done. A few centuries ago, even small children saw death as a reality in their lives. And now death, while it is still real, has become something that we think we can just protect them from. Or maybe it's something we just want to protect ourselves from, or something we don't want to kind of think about every day. Which is why we need Lent. Why we need this day of ashes. Why we say the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return," to everyone in the room, from the oldest one among us to the softest, tiniest infant baby head. And while this is a day that sometimes seems very somber and can be, where we come confessing our sins and living into the reality of sin, it's also a day that's refreshing and hopeful, because it's a day where we hear and where we ourselves speak the truth. Psalm 51 is a psalm of confession. It's a laying open the truth of our sin, our guilt, our transgressions against God and one another, and putting it before God, who knows the depths of us in a way that is honest and open and real. There's no room for blaming someone else in this psalm. There's no excuses. There's no place for pretending that sin and death and evil don't exist. It's all right there. And we spend a lot of our time and our energy and our words and our self-talk thinking that we can control this and that we can control ourselves, and our words and our prayers to God can be just right and that God will be pleased. And then that leads us to think that maybe we can even control God. But Psalm 51 reminds us today of the truth of our humanity, our mortality, our need for God in the world, and our need for God intimately in our lives. This psalm is one of those flat out on our knees. You can even imagine David, King David, who wrote it, prostrate on the floor. A confession that the truth is we cannot deny our own sin and we cannot defy death. No matter how much we love or how much praying we do or how many things we give up for Lent, the truth is before us in the ashes. We are dust, and to dust we will return. And right here in these ashes and dust, we don't pretend anything, and we cannot hide behind our words or our actions as we lay our hearts open at the feet of Jesus. So this is a day that we need every year to come forward and say that we can only come before God and know that we are known in truth, and still even in that truth, we are loved and promised life. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is a deep request and plea, and it is also a promise that God will do just that. Ash Wednesday refreshes us in this new spirit because it reminds us of the truth, and then we are set free to live. The words of the prayer that we say in our family to our children, and whatever prayers that you use for yourself, are still words of truth because they promise God's presence no matter what comes in the night or throughout our days. And the blessings we give, the marking of the cross here with the ashes, or any time that we offer that blessing of the sign of the cross, is one that not just invokes death, but also a reminder of baptism and life. These ashes mark us not only as mortal but as claimed, as beloved. These ashes mark us not only as broken, but as pieced together and given new life. These ashes do not mark us as holy or pious or good or strong, but as those with eyes and ears and hearts ready to return to God, to walk into this season of Lent refreshed and renewed, and to live and die held in God's eternal blessing. Amen. Please join us in a time of sacred space.